Simish Kufnan Zayin, Sif Aleph. Dine Zman Kviya Suda. Sif Aleph, there was only one Sif. Kishagia Shah Revias Yikva Suda. So a person should make his meal at the beginning of the fourth hour, after three days have passed. Excuse me, 3 hours have passed. Tamachachim can wait till the beginning of the sixth hour. Lo yachar yerseh, but you should not push it off beyond that. Habikazarek evan lechemis im lo tam midi betzafra. The Mordechai says that if you don't eat anything in the morning and you eat something later on in the day, in the afternoon already, it's just like throwing a stone into a container. It doesn't really do anything. But then the body needs the nourishment by waiting so long to put it in. It doesn't really give the body what it needs. Unless he's at least taken some type of a snack in the morning, then he can push up the meal till later on. Okay.
What does it consider a snack?
We'll see when we get to. Okay, Aleph. Kishagia Shah, Hanal Chol Adam. So we say that the correct time for people to eat is the beginning of the fourth hour. That's an average person. Avo Parla, people which are working as paid workers. Armina Begamor, the Zman Sudosan Hubashah Chamishas. They wait till the beginning of the fifth hour. They want to get their work underway, and then they later on they have a right to stop. Okay. Revius. So we say it's a fourth hour. How do you calculate your hours? Kishakam Bamura Shah Khashina shows Mitkila Sayyar. Okay, Benjamin, we started. We're holding in Sips of Cotton Bays.
And I'm sorry, where is Sif Cotton Bays?
Kufnan Zayans of Cotton Bays.
Okay, thank you.
Kishakom Bemura Shachar Chashinan Shos Mitkila Sayyam. Kshamim Mitosa Chachar Chashinan Azman Me'esha Kamim Mitosa. This is an interesting halacha. It's subjective. We calculate the time you got up, how long has passed in your day that the person, that your body has needs that you need to address. Your responsibility not to push off the needs. An interesting shiloh which came up, a person who had bariatric surgery, because he lost 100 and something, large amount of weight, but there's very limited amount of food they could eat. Very limited. So he had a lot of halacha shilohs about kiddush and kiddush makom suda and drinking that. But besides that, he asked me that apparently, I'm not sure I understand 100%, that according to modern medicine, they try and change attitudes. So one of the attitudes is that people which are heavier actually wait later in the day to eat their meal. They eat a very large breakfast. So the doctor wants them to get into the habit that they have to eat. He has to eat within the first half an hour of the time he feels hungry. He has to eat pretty much very, very early in the day. So the problem is davening, about the issue about eating before davening. That was what he asked me about this issue. So, I mean, Chazal, basically, I think, are addressing the same idea. They're giving a different criteria of how long it's proper for the body to wait before you nourish it. But if you wait longer, it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. There actually is a halacha, those of you who were here back, Simon Peites, that a person, interesting halacha over there, it's halacha, the chayil is lighting before shachris. A chayil is lighting before shachris, if he was because of his illness, he can't wait till later on. He came out over there that he should say brachas, all of the brachas, brachas shachar, brachas atar, etc., and he should say kriya shema, then he can eat before shachris. The Mechaber says that a person is a royev, he's starving. Has the same heter as a chayla, because he can't be mechaben. So, I mean, now the problem which we have nowadays is even when we fill our stomachs, we can't be mechaben. That's a different issue. But there's a ma'aseh. One of the chassidish rebbes, he one time said on nusach, he says, "I'd rather eat to daven than daven to eat, because you can't eat before davening." So it comes out the reason why I'm davening is that's what get my heter to eat. So my focus on my davening is eating. So I'd rather eat the daven than daven to eat. So it's a nice cheshbon. Hapiyaloch is not so posh, but it's a nice cheshbon. In this situation, I told him to say berachas shachar, berachas atar, berachas shachar, say kriya shema, and eat. If that's part of his process of healing is to get that, I think that was something which would be necessary.
I mean, how do you know when you're so sick that you're allowed to eat before? I mean, what is there like a
Is there an objective criteria? In general, a person. I mean, the heter over there is not so much the illness. The heter over there is because we understand that a person in a compromised circumstance can't really focus on his davening until he eats. Or the need of refuah requires that he needs to eat at a proper time, etc. Pushing the davening will strain him. We need him to eat beforehand. So, I mean, those are somewhat objective. We understand if a person, you know, I have a headache, you know, I have a horrible headache, but my eating is not going to make a difference one way or the other, so then there's no heter. It's not just because you get a ticket, your chayla and your mutter. There has to be some reason why that's impacted. That's either pushing off the eating is not healthy for the person in the circumstances, or that it makes a difference in his quality of his davening.
So, for instance, when I had trouble coughing because of the medication I take for high blood pressure, and I would take cough drops so that I could get through the davening without coughing all over the place.
That's probably mutter. That's really a different issue. That's question. You wouldn't be able to die without it. So holding a kufnan zayin simkat and gimel, ashar shishis. So you pointed out hanu tchilas ashar shishis. So even the tamachachim should not push it off till chatzos. He should wait at the latest, the beginning of the sixth hour. Lo yachar yirsur al kaponim yisayv ashar shishis. And definitely should not go later than the end of that hour, which means high shor revius or shoshishis roitz alarmes mani usein. And again, this is calculated by the length of the day, which it's a magen of rum. It's not necessarily intuitive. Now, this is true because if you're talking about the person's physical needs, right? So we're calculating it based on the length of the day. So why are my physical needs earlier in the day in the winter than they are in the summer? They're later in the summer. You know, we would expect it to be by shoshishis. Which would mean that Bisman Chazal, they basically, you know, when it got dark, that was the end of the day. I mean, so in the winter they had a shorter day.
Because they typically didn't work at night because it was dark. So the day, and the winter time was a shorter day because they didn't work at night. Nowadays, basically, you have a work day. And your work day is
right. I was saying, so
if
now,
someone has a full time job, they don't work it on charges manius. I mean, they work it on hours. He has to be till 9 to 5. It doesn't. It's really not no connection. So his whole schedule is
right.
Built
so saying, so, saying, so the question is,
around.
So now does this halakha change?
Yeah. Right.
Right.
That's
so the question. Right. So Mr. Brewer, you know, the Morgan Rama says that it was charges manius. So I haven't seen anybody speak about whether it should change nowadays or not. I haven't somebody. You know, I don't know that that should change nowadays, but it's an interesting point. That the whole Bung of Rum is not intuitive, but he brings it right from a Gemara. So, it is. It's not it's supposed to merge. You'd like it to be an option of merging. Okay. So the example of Evan Lechemis, you're talking about a flask. Lechemis is like a flask or a container of wine. Shechoser. So the nature of that, apparently, is if it's full, it lasts longer. But if there's an airspace, it deteriorates more quickly. So you throw in a stone just to raise the contents. It doesn't really change the wine at all. It just protects it from not damaging. The yain guva lo misabal yadi. There's no more wine. Obviously, the real goal would be add more wine. So the same thing over here. Kach b'zoy. The achila lo yer tesa b'lakrech yadi. That you don't really get more healthy, but if you wait too long for the meal, it's not healthy for you. Okay. So Chazal said it's better to eat a lighter meal during the daytime. And you have your larger meal at the end of the day, nighttime. If a person, they you see once per day, once per night, they have two meals, the meal in the morning and meal in the evening. If you need to eat twice, so eat twice. So that's what we do now, is we have three meals. But it's better to do that than to fill yourself up more. There's a Rambam, the Rambam says that then in general, a person, when they eat, they should leave over a quarter of a space in your stomach, so the stomach should have room to grind up the food. The person, it says, the rise of the illnesses which people have come from the fact that they fill their stomachs so much. Mm-hmm. There's not room for the body to digest it properly. Mm-hmm. So a person came and asked me this, person told me he's undertaking this hanhaga of doing like this Rambam. He wants to know, does it apply to Yom Tov as well? So I said, you know, if you've undertaken to do it as an anhaga, it might get a din of a netter because it's a davar toiv. Rambam said that something a person should do. So you need hatar sandorim to remove it, to apply in Yom Tov as well. As I don't think that the Yom Tov, the mitzvah, he said drat. That was his response, drat. he was hoping at least for once he doesn't have to control himself. I said, okay, that's probably a good reason why you should have to stick to this anhaga. He's upset. That's a word for saying I'm upset. Now there's a famous Raiva. The Raiva says that in general, the instead of fasting, controlling how much you eat is a greater than fasting. In other words, a person doesn't fill himself up totally, because the nature is once food is in front of us. You know, not eating, but once the food in front of you, controlling yourself is even much more challenging. Sure. So Raiva said it's greater than having actual tightness, is controlling and limiting what you're eating. Revolver says a fascinating thing. He says there's a mitzvah of Kedusha, Kedusha in Tiyu, which we see it as being applying to the world of controlling, not over. The Ramban says that a person who is gluttonous, etc., is over this or Kedusha in Tiyu, he's not being holy. So it doesn't mean that you're starving yourself. It just means that when your mind is still engaged and your stomach hasn't taken over, make a decision how much you need to eat and then stick to it. So if you know that what you need to be healthy, you need X amount of food, so fine. So eat all of that, but don't eat more. That's all you need to do. Kedoshim, the mitzvah of Kedoshim Tiyu. It's a mitzvah say of Kedoshim Tiyu. It's all you need to do is to accomplish that. That sounds very easy, right?
It sounds really easy, but it's like it's not so easy when you're sitting down to a delicious meal and the food is really good and you're like, okay, I'm not really hungry, but the food is so good, you know. Right.
The Rashi Rav Isaac, I think I mentioned to you, the Rashi Rav Isaac pointed out that in Europe, I mean, they obviously the resources are much more limited in Europe. The phrase that they used to ask people at the end of the meal was, "Are you still hungry?" Says America, they ask you, "Are you full?" And it's a very big difference between "Are you still hungry?" and "Are you full?" It's a fascinating cultural difference between the world that they came from and the world that we live in. Okay. So in the morning you eat bread to give you sustenance. It's the night time you have the more indulgent meal, the basar, etc. The boy enish lebashalom mizana min yarma liyarma achari, b'la'ake mizana min yarma liyarma achari. A person should not cook from one day to the next. A person should not leave over food from one day to the next. Batam kadeshi yizavakash kol yarm al mizana yisov. Vishachachu ayod b'choyin b'chol yarma b'yarma le'ela ayin shom. So the Zohar says that if you can understand that each day you get a new blessing from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a new food, that would be the best thing that the person should do. So I had a chaver once asked the Rashi Rav Chaim, so how do we have freezers then? Like the whole set of freezers connected to this Mishnah Berurah.
Not to a refrigerator.
Refrigerator, you don't want to throw something out which is wasting. But the idea of freezers is to be able to prepare something beforehand. You know, the whole idea is not to prepare for beforehand. It's waiting for the day and say, I have the cupboard to bare and the brochure, please send me my, you know, what I need for today. So his answer was, Rashi Rav Chaim says, we need it for our wives. He says they're not going to be happy with this approach, you know. That was his response. Mm-hmm. It's part of the person should relieve himself for gedolim. The person should defecate before the meal. That the body should be not. The more lashon is that when a person still has the residue of the previous meal in his body, and he takes in new food, it doesn't have the same healthy effect as would be possible. So waiting to after the 6 hours is not healthy. It has this lack of effect, the lack of sustenance, unless you had a small meal in the morning. So if you did have something earlier in the morning, It's not the equivalent of Mazar Kevin Lachemus. Okay. Even though you have said something earlier on, you still should have your regular meal by the sixth hour. So we know that they used to have a small amount before they went into shear. Kala was shear. Like Yarchi Kala, the month of the shear. So Kala was the shear. So the more says that the more it mentions that a Barbe Rav, a Talmud of the yeshiva, a member of the yeshiva, would take a small meal, a small snack, before he goes into the shir. And the filochi machbigam b'shabbos dafyud this mansur who achal shishis b'chaparcha k'moshik savnu. So I understand. We know that they used to eat before. So the Mor says that they should stop to make sure that they eat by the sixth hour. But they ate something before that. Of course, that was standard. So what do we force to say? That even though you have something before, still you should make sure you eat by the sixth hour. You shouldn't rely on this argument that it's okay afterwards. So how much was this Tom Barbe Rab Al Kala? It was a kebaya. It was a kebaya of bread. So the Mor says that that amount is considered just a te'ima, and that's why it's mutter outside of the sukkah. That's why the Tamor and sukkah is talking about in that regard. So I mentioned to you before that my Rebbe said that the way you calculate the size of a kebaya is you take a slice of rye bread from the middle of a 2-pound loaf, a bakery loaf, so it's smaller at the edges and larger in the middle. You pull out the slice in the middle, that's a kebaya. So that's your snack. That up to there is considered up to that, and including that is considered a snack. Okay, Simon Kufnun Ches Din in Atilas Yadayim Masuda. Kashiyabo Lechol Pas Sifalov. Kashiyabo Lechol Pas Shemavorchem Alav Amoitzi Yitol Yodav. If you're eating bread, which you have to make a moitzi on, so you have to wash your hands. So let's see the Mishnah Berurah. The first Mishnah Berurah over here, he gives introduction a little bit to the Simon. What's this the kana of washing our hands, and what's it about? Mishuris of cotton olive. Kishiyobe. Tam tekanas nintila hiu mishnei devorna. There's two reasons why Chazal instituted the idea of washing our hands. Echad b'nei sarach truma. One reason is because of the word sarach. The word sarach means connecting. It's a connection to the halacha of truma. Now, truma, they had to wash their hands because Chazal gave a halacha of the following. Behind him, Kiman Diadaim Askani Yosein, Menogim Bechol Dabur. Hands are constantly moving and they're touching things. Therefore, Chazal Uvizman Shayanoig, Tuma Vatahara, Vakahanim Oklu Chuma, when Tuma and Tahara were relevant to the Kahan reading Chuma, Vashikum Nitol Yadayim, Idibir Servim Kadam Achilas Chuma, Kadeshal Yetameo, Benigios. We don't know what the hands really touched, even though they have a chazaka of being tor. So they're not really halachically tameh. The Chachamim Rabbanan gave hands a din of tuma. It's a unique tuma because tuma can't be for only part of the body. Either you're tameh or you're tor. The fact that the yadayim are tameh and the rest of the body is tor is unique. It's clear that it's a kind of Rabbanan.
Don't we also say that in the morning when you first get up, you just wash your hands? We don't dip our entire bodies in a mikveh every morning.
That washing, which we do in the morning, and this one we're doing over here, are not really connected. Even though the words Tuma and Tahara are connected to it, it's a totally different concept. Tuma and Tahara, which the Torah talks about, of the Matzara, Zov, Nida, Yoledis, Keri, Mace, Nevela, is the Tuma we're talking about over here. That idea that there's this evil being on your body,
yeah.
Ruch Ra, is not Tuma. It's really a different concept.
It's more spiritual.
The Mor says that actually that is on your body, the whole body, when you're sleeping. The Mor says, and when you wake up, it leaves the body, but it doesn't sort of like goes out of the body, but there's a residue which remains on the hands. That's the Mor's language about what that Ruach Ra is, and that's why it's only on the hands. But in general, halachos of tuma and tahara, a person touches a mace, and like, my hand touched the mace, my hand's tome, my arm is tore. No, the body is tome. You touch your mace, you're tome, you know. So the Chazal Masakin, because of the issue of the hands moving around, they gave it a din, so they would wash their hands beforehand. So that's Mikra Din. the Kohanim had the Yadayim were given the halachic status of Tumah, and if a hand would touch Tumah, the Tumah would become Tumah, you couldn't eat the Tumah anymore, so they had to wash their hands. Now the Chum came along and said, "Kadesh Shiyu Regilim HaKohanim Bazet." So Chazal extended the Tekanim and said, you know, it's not just the Kohanim, it's even the Yisraelim, even eating Chulin. So in general, Klaisov would be into washing their hands before meals, since the mainstay of the meal was bread. Therefore, they were masakin with bread. Now, the Kohen has his halacha with anything which is Truma, not only bread. It applies to whatever he's involved with, whatever din of Truma, he has to wash his hands. But he didn't give that chiyuv to Yisra. We'll see about the tekana of washing your hands for peres which are tame.
Then once the peres are tame, what difference does it make if you wash your if you're eating something that's tame, you're going to be tame.
Actually, if you eat something tame, it doesn't make you tame. Food doesn't make a person tame. There's a tekana d'rabbanan that it does. We mean a rice that food can't make food. Tumors cannot be contracted from food.
I thought that was what is it? If you eat an avela, it's in your throat. You become tummy from eating it. No,
the avela is not because of eating it. The avela is because of touching it. Right. There's only one case of tumor which is contracted through a maisachila. That's the avela's oiftor. But in general, in the avela, the tumor is by touching it or by moving it. There is a case in the Vela Softor that in the Vela of a kosher bird, where a person, the moment of Tuma is the moment when the person swallows it. But again, it's not the Chila so much as that it gets absorbed in the body, the person becomes Tummy. Okay, now, so there are some differences. There's some one difference we pointed out that the Kohen had to wash his hands for anything, any Tuma. He has to wash for Pas. Another difference is, we'll see later on, the Machlok is how much of your hand you have to wash. That doesn't apply to Tshuma. According to Tshuma, basically the Pesach is, according to all of the Rishonim and the Gemara, the whole hand, including up to the wrist. But for bread, we have the Smachloikas, is it only to the knuckles or is to the wrist, for bread for yourself. But they made it as a sort of like a way to help encourage the Kohanim to do the right thing. Okay. But the Kohanim nowadays are talking, they can't eat Tshuma anyway. So no Kohen is eating Tshuma. So I'm washing because the Kohen should be careful when he eats Tshuma. He ain't eating Tshuma nowadays. Like bothers the Kohen Zu, they should give them an Yisrael because she bought a bit of Mitzvah from Harry Yemen and Lecha Batara. But you don't want to take away the Kohen this way. When the time comes, we'll be ready. Void time with the Kohen Natila. The second reason why, another reason why there's the Kohen Natila, Mishum the Kiyas of Kedusha. The Mora says it's the idea that the proper way to eat. We Jews have we see achila as not just hechatips. It can be a service of a kadosh baruch hu, so it deserves respect. And because I'll give a halacha that you can't be mavasa pas. The more there's a case where there's a medina where they were playing around with their bread, throwing it, etc. And Rabbi Huda said there's going to be a nias in this. There's going to be poverty over here. You can't, if you don't appreciate the matana of kadosh baruch hu of the staff of life of bread, you're not going to have it. So we have a certain appreciation, which therefore it has to be done with the kiyus and it has to be done with holiness. So, the Gemara, akrod b'his kadishim isim kadoshim, because all darshim b'his kadishim is ma'am rishonim, b'isim kadoshim is ma'am achronim. So, we our process of achila has an element of kadusha to it. So, as we go along, the Mishnah Berurah will reference back to both of these reasons, and we'll see certain halachas are dependent upon one, certain halachas are dependent upon the other. Both reasons are true. Okay, let's see the sif. K'shiyavu lechol pas, k'shemvorchim ol b'moitzi, yitl yodim. So, it's bread, and only bread that you make a moitzi on means it has to be, it's going to be for a meal. So, there's two ways to have bread which you make a moitzi on. We'll see as the Shulchan Aruch will continue. There are what's called pasul b'kisim. Pasul b'kisim, we'll see soon. We got the halachas is bread. It's pas. It's called pasul b'kisim. It's called pas.
What does pasul b'kisim mean? It's like in a cake.
A baba kisim, there's the multiple explanations of what it means. Basically, without getting involved in what the words actually mean, what it's referring to is cake, crackers, cookies, etc.
Well, I thought crackers.
We'll see later on when we get to there what that is.
I thought anything that was hard isn't technically bread. Like a hard pretzel is not bread, but maybe a soft pretzel might be considered bread.
No. Pas Obakissin is pas. It's bread. The first word in the sentence is pas.
Okay.
It means cake is called pas. Cake is called bread. But it's bread, which the nature is to be eaten as a snack, not as a meal. And therefore, Chazal did not give it. If the whole reason why we give bread the special chashivas of its own bracha of hamitzvah lechem min ha'aretz and benching is because this is what we make meals out of. If you take this type of bread and the nature is to eat it as a snack, therefore it does not have that chashivas. However, if you do eat it as a mainstay of a meal, it goes back to its original status of being bread. That's why if you have a large amount of cake, you would have to say a moitzi, etc. But the logic behind it is it's bread, but since the way it's made, do the fillings, sweeteners, etc., the nature is to eat it more like a snack than as a meal. That's going to be the logic we'll see later on. Okay, so here this person is eating bread that you're making a moitzi. So that could either mean bread, or if you make a meal out of cake. I mentioned to you, I think, that I had a and tells Yeshiva lunches on Fridays were basically the lunch from Sunday and from Monday and from Tuesday and from Wednesday and from Thursday, leftovers served, and they would serve like making one new dish. And they'd also serve cake from the Shabbos cake. They put out some of the guys didn't like anything else. So I and one of the guys in Yeshiva were with me, Friday he would walk into the dining room, take a plate of cake, full plate of cake, wash his hands, say all the hills and dime, say hamotzi, and bench. That was his lunch. He made his lunch out of cake, and he was right. That would be the correct halacha. So you're eating bread, but you can make a moitzi on it. You wash your hands. Fill in your day, lehem shum tamil, you're not aware of any tumah, you have to wash your hands. You work alatil sedayim, and you make a bracha alatil sedayim. Again, all of this is going to be explained more at length as we go along. Avol pasha ain't mevorchin ol moitzi, but there's cases of bread which you don't make a moitzi on them. Again, that's our point, that it's called bread, but it's a bread but doesn't get a moitzi. You could go in lachmon yos. So the first example, and this is really going to be discussed later on, what these are. Here, sturti belaz, dakas. So this was a thin type of a cracker, okay? Or pasta bakistan, excuse me, or pasta which has, pears pasta suyam, it's sukkar bashkeda, my guys. It has either a filling or ingredients of sugar, almonds, and nuts. And therefore, it's flavored. And you're not making a meal out of them. And it's sarach until sidaim. Then you don't have to wash your hands. Even though it's pas, so it's possible bakistan. So you don't have to wash with that type of pas.
So does this get into the whole question of, like, let's say, pizza?
This is just a tease. We get this in Kuf Samaches talks about what is bread. He'll talk much more at length. So let's hold it to there. We will talk about pizza. You might want to shut your ears when we talk about pizza. We'll talk about pizza. Okay.
Shutting my ears is well.
Okay, let's see, Mr. Brewer. It's a cut and base. Lechol pas. So we're saying the first point over here is bread. Lafuki al peiros, as opposed to washing your hands for other fruits, which we're not mechuyev to do. Now, so let's explain why is that. Why is it that the Kohanim had to wash their hands for an apple? An apple tree goes in Eretz Yisrael, it's chayv and truma, you give it to, take a truma, you give it to the Kohen has to wash his hands. We're doing it to help the Kohen. So why are we washing for fruit? Fishein roiva truma elam mimine pas. They see rachis to goncha. There is rachis from wheat and from spelt and from barley, etc. But it was items which were made, which are the bread and bread-like type of foods. And the majority of the way those were eaten was in the bread form. So that became the main focus. Again, since our goal is to sort of like get the condiment into the mode, if the majority of times we're eating, this is what we're going to be washing our hands anyway because of this issue. So that's sufficient. Now, the Shartzinus of Cotton Gimel says, what about the cleanliness issue? What about that? I mean, so you should eat bread when your hands are clean, and you eat apples, and we don't care whether your hands are clean. What exactly is the difference? So the Shartzinus of Cotton Gimel down the bottom, Tama Sheni Hanau Mishum Nikias. So Chlomer Nami Dol Tikto Ela Bapas. So it's because of Nikias. So why only by bread? Mishum Dehu Derech Kviya Sudo Livnei Adam Chosham Nikias the Kedusha Bechilas Aroy. The point is that they dressed what they saw were meals. They didn't necessarily dress snacks. And in general, eating fruit, etc., the type of things were, and generally those were snacks as opposed to meals. And meals, when you made a meal, you ate bread. So therefore, we addressed your meals by requiring washing for bread. Okay, so cotton gimel, shabur of cotton gimel, shemvorachim alav amaytzi. Latitu ela bedover shekayv and sudolav. Chazar were only made this lekana for things which are the meals. Yitul yadav. Now the Mishabur is going to give you a very short synopsis of the halachas as which will be coming in the next 10 simonim. Shtei yadav has to be both hands. Number one, uba kli, you have to require a kli. Even though you're only using one hand. Right? The other hand, we're concerned that possibly the second hand will touch as well. Now, the person can deal with the case where the second hand is covered, so then we don't have to worry about that possibility. What is a different question is the person who his hand is not covered, but it's a weakened hand, there's paralysis in the hand or something like that. To require somebody to help him wash that hand, because he's not going to be touching with that hand. The simple assumption is yes, because the mice said this is the tekana. His hand is available. If the hand is covered, there's a wound on the hand and it's covered with which you will not remove because of the pain, etc. So we'll see later on. That's a different story. But if the hand's available, the assumption would be we'd have to wash it. Again, not everybody agrees with that. That's to be the assumption. It would be proper to wash the right hand first. This way, the left hand is being mishamish to the right hand. In general, that's a Kabbalistic concept that the right is stronger. Right represents chesed, and left represents gevura. So, in our world, gevura sounds stronger than chesed, right? Power is more powerful than chesed, than kindliness. But in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Baruch Hu created the world for chesed purposes. And he created gevura, which means the ability to take stands and din, etc., because that enhances, that's what creates the world of chesed. Without the world of punishment, without punishment, there can't be reward. Without justice, you're not going to feel good about your reward. So justice wasn't created for justice purposes. Justice was created as a way to have increase the reward. When you get it honestly, you feel better about it. So if the Russia wouldn't create a world of schar and oynish and din and justice, you're just getting a handout. So it comes out that the gevura is just a hechatimsa. The din, gevura represents din, is just really a way to enhance the chesed. So the left is really mishamish the right.
What is a hechatimsa?
A vehicle. Conceptual vehicle, not a physical vehicle. Okay. I'm sorry about that. I'm trying to be more careful.
What?
Not throwing in phrases which are. Hey, I feel any yodea, megam enim luchos. They're not dirty, and you're not aware of it, that they touched any tumma or anything like that. So you still have to wash your hands. We say the full bracha of. So the full bracha of Altis Adayim. B'shayach lomer b'tzivanu, after Medivri Seferim. So how do you say b'tzivanu and the Tekanah d'Rabbanan? Hashem commanded us. The answer is, Nitzivinu lishmoy lehem, kinesiva p'tara sheyerucha lo soser. We have to follow the words of the Chachamim. Now the Gemara actually gives another two reasons. The Gemara says, lo soser min adavar shegidu chal yimin asmol. Do not deviate from what they told you. The Gemara says another reason is, b'harsh zazinu, shalavicha b'yaget chos tekenecha b'yamr loch. You should listen to what your fathers and what your elders tell you. See the way we're commanded to follow the Chachamim. Lachmoni is Dakis. Yisvar l'kamon m'simen kuf samaches, sefov, ayin sham. So we get to the halachas of Pasuk b'kisin and simen kuf samaches, we will describe what's called Dakis, what's called thin, to the point that it's not hamotzi anymore. Kamashal Navagav, the after Elu Mechavishas Minim Haim, they're one of the five species of grains. Kiva Shaloi Kava Sura Leim Ain Sarthas Hila. But you make a meal out of it, you don't have to wash. Koshken Al Pas, also means shard the boredom. You make a rice bread, or millet bread. Shenem Mechavishas Minim, Shenem Tzirchim Tzila. Those never. I mean, even those, even if you make a meal out of your rice bread, you may not have to wash. If you make a meal out of these other types of items, which are bread, they're made of the five species, but they're not, they're made for snack purposes. Well, you'll eat pretzels as a snack, but you want to make a meal out of pretzels, even if it's hard pretzels. You need to wash your hands, make a brocha of al natil sedayim, just like you're eating bread. And the gam moitzim because it wasn't sarach alev, you'd also need a moitzim because it wasn't in kavu sudalem if you make a meal out of them. So we're getting ahead of ourselves. We'll see about that later on. What's called a meal? Shir kriya suda. What's called a meal? Gam ken yisbar b'shom b'ezer Hashem yisbarach. We'll explain that later on. How much is called a meal? Because his lechol lo hayu b'dayt to lechol rak ma'at, achach nimlach lechol oid kashir kviyus. Sarach nitzil sedayim berchaz amotzi kamashibur sham lekamon sevva vayin sham. So you start your meal, you have a piece of cake. You know what? More commonly, you know, a person takes out a sleeve of crackers. So he's planning to have a few crackers with them tuna. You know, next thing you know, he says, you know, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, like that. He says, you know, he's making a meal out of this. So the law is that he has to stop and he has to wash his hands. Now, does he have to also say a zilzadayim and say a bracha, etc.? So if from this point onwards he's going to eat enough, which it would be a meal on its own, he would say until zilzadayim. He'd wash his hands, say zilzadayim. If he's not eating enough that it's going to be a meal, just only be a meal in conjunction with what he ate earlier, then he would wash his hands, he would not say until zilzadayim. Does he have to make a new bracha of a moitzi? There's interesting sharatzin about that later on in Kupsa Meches. Grapples with what's with hamotzi. So the case is eating enough to make a whole meal out of it, he would make a motzi. If he's not eating enough to make another meal out of it, but altogether it would count as a full meal, so there's a sharatzin about that. We'll see when we get over there. So you can't sleep tonight. I apologize, but. No, it sounds like he's eating crackers. He's eating more crackers. Should he stop and make a motzi? Now, let's do one more sif. Short sif. Sif beis. Yesh mishar mershim. Eno oichel elo pachas mikabeya yitoyara below yivarch. Some say, if you're eating less than a kabeya's worth, you wash your hands, you do not make a bracha of al natilas yadayim. Now, the Shulchan Aruch brings a yesh mishar mershim that brings nobody argues. So that means he's accepting that as halacha. But he's writing as yesh mishar mershim. There are those who say, or yesh armrim, because there's only one source. He wants to point out there's only one source, but since somebody argues, we're accepting it as halacha. So it means this is the definitive halacha, that if you're washing less than a kebeah, you wash your hands, you do not make a bracha of al natilas yadayim. Okay, let's leave the Shabura for tomorrow.